We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Hey, Ola, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose. And all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to the Men's Room.
And away we go! Welcome to season 16, episode number 3,495. Along with Steve the Thrill Hill, the Ted Smith, and Mike Hawk.
Montgomery!
And you are the Men's Room. On tap today, it is a random question. Your guess is as good as mine. Categories: America's hottest cities and luxury cars. We will play Profile This, plus headlines, Men's Room Shout of the Day, fun with listener emails, and everyone's favorite, TV Time with Tim.
The clock, drink it to draw.
All right, here we go. A couple hikes to the top of a huge peak, decides to have sex, and forgets about their 24-hour webcam. Oh. Meanwhile, the Minister of Quebec announced music will be played in all government buildings if Bieber is your jam. Man takes e-scooter on interstate alongside cars going 70 miles per hour. Lazy guy throws sofa out of apartment window, nearly joining woman in her higher power. And a man pulls out a gun in Starbucks, demanding more cream cheese. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, ever take a sip of what you thought was water, but then it turns out to be Sprite or vodka or some other clear liquid? I mean, man, we've all been there. But now imagine you go to take a sip of water, but instead of water, it's battery acid. It happened to a guy in India, and it's not that he had random battery acid laying around. It's that the shop owner who sold him the battery acid thought he was selling him mineral water, because for reasons we can't explain, he stores his battery acid in mineral water bottles. Now, obviously, that's dangerous, but the guy did survive. But you know what else is dangerous to consume? You might want to sit down for this. Raccoon poop. Now, you probably already know that, but a one-year-old child in Canada did not know that. And it turns out the real danger of eating raccoon poop is the high level of ringworm eggs in it. Who knew? Now, the good news is that the raccoon turd-eating kid, he did survive. The bad news is, well, the kid ate raccoon poop. I mean, if an animal's going to put you in danger, deep down, you kind of hope it's the old-fashioned way, you know, just a straight-up attack. A 30-year-old kid in England, he was at a zoo with his parents. About an hour after they got there, a peacock charged him and attacked his face. Now, the zoo was quick to point out, hey, first of all, we are very proud of our free-range peacocks, and furthermore, the birds aren't usually aggressive. Sure, a different peacock at the same zoo attacked a 6-year-old girl back in 2008 and slashed her face, but usually, the peacocks are pretty chill.
assuming you're not a child and don't have a face on the front of your head. Otherwise, apparently, they get provoked if you look like a human. But these are just some of the stories we saw, stories that left us with many questions. Questions we'd like to ask you in the form of our random question, and this is how it works. You call us, we'll ask you a question that completes random. And after you share your story, we will share with you the news story that inspired said question.
Be part of the big show on the random question. Call 206-421-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live. And send those emails to themensroom@kisw.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill, 99.9 KISW.
Home Patrol's head, away we go. Welcome to Season 16, Episode number 3,495. What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat, that is a fact. Once again, the exciting return of your guests is as good as mine. And as we sit here at about 84 degrees downtown, today we get the hottest cities in America. Hottest major cities in America.
All right, okay.
Sure, there's some small towns along the border of Mexico or whatever that get hotter, but as far as population is concerned and where those big cities are, these are the 10 hottest places you can live in the United States. And believe it or not, we are in one of the cooler spots right now.
Yeah, right now, for sure.
I mean, you have no idea. Utah was in the 115 degrees over the weekend. Palm Springs, 120.
God.
Phoenix, Arizona was 118 degrees. I mean, you look at some of the places on the West Coast, and it's a scorcher out there. And Seattle's going to be hot all week. So we've got the hottest cities in America. And for you, the top 10 best luxury car brands. If any of us had any of these cars, we would be happy to know that we were wealthy enough to afford some of the 10 most best luxury car brands that there are out there that you could buy. And today is the day that we do our random question, 206-421-ROCK.
Random.
Hello, Michael. Random, welcome to the men's room.
Random. I'll see you at Action Park, boys.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously, after hearing all the crazy stuff that went down there, I'm amazed they didn't get shut down sooner than 96.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm still looking forward to watching that documentary. I didn't get a chance to watch it over the weekend, but that's going to be something that I search out.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see here. What do I got for you? Okay. How about this one? What is the grossest food that your family made growing up that you thought was normal or pretty decent? What was the meal you hated coming home to?
Well, Thrill, you'll like this answer. Anything that involves vegetables heavily.
Yeah, I agree with that. But sometimes my mother would cake. One thing she used to make, and for the life of me, I cannot explain how this became a thing or why she ever thought I would eat it, but it was tomato pie, all right? But picture just a pie crust on the bottom, basically sliced up tomatoes in the middle along with kind of, not like tomato paste, it was kind of like a juicy syrup.
Was it like a deep dish pizza when it was baked?
Yeah, but then you cover the top and it's nothing but tomatoes. I'm sure there are some herbs in there or something, but like to me, as a child, and she put this thing on my plate, like, I'm not eating this. And it was always the same conversation, right? You can't leave the table until you eat the food. And I realize it is strategic because I had no problem not eating. I would just go to bed hungry.
Doesn't look bad.
It's more like
but there's
this.
Two
Mike
versions
pulled up a picture. So it looked like that one, right?
Okay.
Not that with all cheese right. And stuff, man. I mean.
Right, because like Dino's. Their pizza is considered tomato pie, but that's a style of pizza as opposed to like...
This was not that. Just mark my words, man. This was not that.
My mom, as far as vegetables were concerned, I don't think she liked vegetables as much either, but
And I don't know if it was the era at the time, but she would always do, if it was cauliflower or broccoli, it would be baked in a casserole dish with, you know, the same kind of basic cheese that you were talking about the other day that starts from a roux.
Yeah.
So it always had cheese sauce on it. So it wasn't like, yeah, I like cauliflower that much or broccoli that much, but it was always just smothered in cheese. I think the worst thing was there is something to me that I can taste in a tuna casserole, especially when you're using canned tuna. For some reason, when you... When you heat it up,
yeah,
you can really taste the metallicness in the tuna. And so she would make this tuna casserole, and it'd have peas in it. I'm sure some kind of can of, like, cream of mushrooms.
It was like the cornflake crust or something?
Right. Yeah. It was just, I mean, those nights were the worst nights.
When did that end, right? Because you're right. Growing up, obviously in the 70s, probably the 60s and 50s as well, but the 70s, casseroles were, I mean, like, twice a week, you could count on some kind of casserole. And it didn't matter what word preceded it. You call it any kind of casserole, mm-hmm, it was going to suck.
It was terrible.
And you're right. There were peas. There's cornflakes on top. And I'm just like, what?
If they would have just made it like a Popeye, like just maybe throw some carrots in there, diced potatoes or something like that.
I feel like we used to have like tuna casserole almost every Friday.
Really?
Because my parents were like,
they were
old school Catholics. Like, you weren't supposed to eat meat on Fridays any time of year.
Oh, my God. In the traditional Catholic dinner on Christmas.
Which is what?
It was all fish. But, I mean, the fish was like squid. So
the Italian household.
The grandparents would spend the entire morning cutting up and gutting squid, which is, you know, squid ink. It stinks. It's basically, it's in a box. Like, if you were to buy bait, and that would be squid, it's the same thing you eat.
Oh, no. We used to have to clean it out. It's weird. We used to have to clean it out at one of the restaurants I was at. And up until this point, I'd never interacted with squid. But I remember, you know, the body's just kind of that open tube.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, to clean it out, you stick your finger in there and pull out what's in there. So, one, they have the spine. But the spine looks like, picture half of a popsicle stick and make it completely see-through. So it looks like a piece of plastic, but that's their spine. But often, you would pull out whatever it is that particular squid ate before it was caught. So you got a lot of fish heads, but the one that threw me off, I'd pull something out, and this thing is in the palm of my hand. All right, so I just walk up to the chef, and I said, look, before I lose my exterior cool, you need to explain to me what is sitting in my hand. Turned out it was a jellyfish.
Oh.
But after they've eaten them and all the tentacles are gone, it looks like someone hocked the biggest loogie and spit it into the tube. You get used to it after a while, but I don't miss that.
And where you would make a soup and you would normally throw in a ham hock, you can't do that on Christmas Eve or whatever. I can't remember the exact date. I think it is Christmas Eve. But they would make fish head soup. Now, there was some, like, the cheeks weren't bad, you know what I mean, as far as the meat goes, but that's about it. And the fish head was there to, but just looking down in this pot and seeing this giant fish head.
Staring back at you.
Right, eyes and everything.
Cataracts.
And it didn't really do much to flavor the soup, but it was terrible. The reason
that's got to be Italian.
It is Italian.
Yeah, did you ever, I was like, I grew up Irish Catholic, and we just had, like, turkey and stuffing. And,
right.
I'd have much preferred that.
Did you ever eat smelt? This guy says, I'm Italian. My dad grew up in an Italian house as well, and every Friday, his mom would make smelt.
Smelt. I don't know if I did or not.
If you smelt it, you dealt it.
Yes.
And someone else here argues tuna fish casserole is great, and it's not cornflakes. It's crushed up regular Lay's potato chips. Look, I'm sure that's better. You're still not going to convince me to tuna casserole.
Look, it would be better if the tuna didn't come out of a can, but that's not where we were in the wealth.
Everything we ate came out of a can.
But would you really use fresh tuna in a tuna casserole?
Hell no. But it would get rid of the metallic taste, which I hated. The reason we asked, what's the grossest food your family made that you thought was normal? Did a little survey, asked a bunch of people, hey, you grew up as a kid, you didn't know any better. What did you think was totally normal? Here are some of the better ones. Cold peas, mayonnaise, and sugar mixed together as a side dish at dinner.
Ew, man.
Someone else said mac and cheese with peas and tuna mixed in was the mom's go-to lunch. And now they actually make it for their own kid all the time. Mac and cheese, peas, and tuna.
We had that on a few occasions, but I think as a family, we kind of agreed, you know what? Mac and cheese is okay by itself.
Someone's parents would put leftover pot roast in a food processor, blend all that up with Miracle Whip and relish, eat it on bread, and they called it beef-o-salad.
Did you guys ever have ham salad?
Yes. Yeah, nothing wrong with ham
salad.
That
was a massive deal, too. Like, my mom had the old school grinder you had to, like, hook up to the table.
And it's basically the same as that, right? Like, let's take some meat, make it a paste, mix it with mayonnaise, call it a spread. We're all good, right?
Yeah.
Woman's grandmother used to make applesauce jello. Just red jello and applesauce together. Then she'd mix in red hot candies. Then there's the person who enjoyed peanut butter and bacon on toast topped with gravy.
Okay,
peanut butter and bacon, I could probably manage, no problem.
Sure.
The gravy, that's a little strange.
I mean, look, I love pork roll, but that's a strange thing that we ate all the time.
Cold spaghetti with lettuce, chicken croutons, and cheese, all topped with French dressing. It was called President's Salad. And a woman's grandmother made something called...
President of what?
Yeah. Damn if I know soup. The recipe always changed because she only made it when she had to clean out her fridge. And then one said potato chips, chicken soup, and tuna. All stacked up like lasagna. They called it mock chicken.
Ah, okay. So now this brings back... I thought this was normal. I assumed everyone did it. They called it yak. Okay? Y-O-K. So in my mind, I'm like 6 years old. I assume it's some Chinese dish. I was just stunned at how easy the ingredients were. So what you do see is boiled spaghetti noodles. That would be your lo mein base. And then you take soy sauce, mix that with ketchup, mix it together. That's the meal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everyone in my family ate it all the time. I did not know it was weird. I did not know it was horrible until I asked other people. They're like, I'm sorry, what now?
Dude, my buddy, his family has this recipe, and it's kind of like a casserole, but the name is awful. It's called Glunk.
Glunk?
Yes.
Why would you think anyone wants... Hey, man, you want to try Glunk?
I don't know, but it's one of those things. Like, I guess they always had it at holidays or whatever, so sometimes when we're all together, like, he'll make it. Like, I'm making the Glunk. And I'm
is
like,
it good?
You know what
is it called that, or just their family?
That's
name?
For.
That's what they call it. It's Glunk.
Glunk.
But it's like cream of mushroom, like like ground meat or ground turkey, like some other stuff.
We should come up with a restaurant and just serve good food with the worst possible names.
There was a thing in Boy Scouts called Gorp. We know it as trail mix now, but they called it Gorp.
They called it Gorp?
Gorp.
Was it like for granola, oats,
you know,
raisins and
exactly,
something maybe?
Exactly, nuts, sometimes M&Ms. But yeah.
You think somebody should call it trail mix?
Glunk. I'm going to say G-L-U-N-K, right?
That's my guess.
Glunk.
See if there's a Glunk recipe.
Glunk, Urban Dictionary. The act of sliding one's eyeglasses down to one nose and peering over the top of them questioning. I don't think Glunk could be a food.
What you got, Mike?
Oh, here it is, Glunk recipe.
You guys were right that Gorp is actually an anagram. It stands for good old raisins and peanuts.
Okay. Glunk. You brown hamburger meat, onion and garlic powder until the meat is no longer pink. Drain, prepare macaroni and cheese, and basically mix it all together.
Oh, all right. So it's like a hamburger frickin' helper.
Right? And soup stirring in as well. You got to put a can...
can it, cream of mushroom?
It looks that way, yeah.
Yeah.
One of those deals.
Okay.
Glunk.
Glunk.
Now people are checking out. Let's see. Meatballs, slow cooked, and grape jelly and ketchup.
Oh,
that might not be bad at all.
That's
it
awesome.
Might, yeah,
I
really
still
bad.
Use a recipe kind of like that.
With grape jelly?
Gives it the jelly apricot, gives it the glaze.
Okay,
apricot
I can live
preserves,
with that. All right.
Grape jelly and apricot preserves and like Heinz sauce.
It's like a sweet, tangier meatball.
See, someone here says, my dad used to make this minestrone that was filled with every ungodly type of vegetable you could ask for. It was so bad that the best part of the soup was the garbanzo beans.
Oh, I like garbanzo beans.
No.
But that shouldn't be the highlight. If you can't wait to get a garbanzo bean in your mouth, you know the rest of your meal is crap. Says, my dad loved fried fish, mac and cheese, whole stewed tomato on top. Not a good combo. Toasted bread, peanut butter, and a sliced pickle sandwich. Come on, man.
God, I have to admit, I'm old enough where I really do like stewed tomatoes.
I like stewed tomatoes.
That was one of those dishes that looked like crap, and I always liked it.
Someone else points out chitlins. Have you ever had chitlins?
I don't know if I have or not.
The people that like them love them. I am not one of those people.
And I'm one of those people who don't like grits. A lot of people like cheesy grits. They're just not.
I like grits.
They're not my thing either.
But again, see, just like a lot of people say, they did not know that cranberry sauce was physically made with cranberries because most of us grew up, you just hear it slide out of the can, right? The thing with grits, we always had like the instant grits, and I hated those. I absolutely hated them, so I never wanted grits. I become an adult, went to some place in New Orleans, and they had shrimp and grits, and everyone's like, try it. I'm like, I don't like grits. I like grits.
Okay.
I like legit grits.
I grew up eating cream of wheat.
That's what I was going to say. It always reminded me of cream of wheat.
But then when I was living in Baltimore, some friend of a friend was dating some dude from Texas.
All right.
And he's like, I'm going to make you real grits. And they were cheese grits and hot sauce. Like, I'm pro grits.
My dad eats them all the time. He eats them like a couple times a week. In Waffle House, man, you go to Waffle House, people look at you like you're cross-eyed if you don't order grits.
Yeah, I mean, your dad, though, that seems like the type of person that enjoys grits a couple times
exactly.
A week.
He's like, grits.
I mean, it's not the best name in the world.
No, but it's just a whole lot of butter. I mean, that's a hell of a way to start your
party. But that's the difference. I don't think we ever added butter at home, man. So it's just water and these dried ass whatever it is.
And you're talking about chitlins. The worst I ever saw was hog maws.
Yeah, that's what people that like chitlins tend to also like hog maws. Man, my grandmother on my mother's side, if you walked in her kitchen, those kinds of things were always cooking. So you'd walk in the house. I hated the smell, man. Why are you frying a chitlin? I'm making chitlins.
Is that a part of the pig?
Yes.
Hog maw. It's maw. It's this part.
Oh, the cheeks?
Yeah.
I mean,
they
cheeks?
Say but this includes the bone. It's not. It's just different, man. Oh, I know what you're saying. Right.
It's, okay. And it's in vinegar.
Right.
No. More of the random question on the way, 206-421-ROCK.
99.9 KISW.
Yay!
You're in the men's room.
Get in there and be a part of our random question, 206-421-ROCK.
Random.
Hello, Matt. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bicholos.
Hola. Matt, welcome to the program. Random question. All right, let's see what we got here for you. All right, let's see. Okay. What would you say is the craziest item of clothing that you have ever owned? Craziest item of clothing.
I don't know if this is the craziest, but it just popped into my head. You know, because I'm albino and I get sunburned really easily.
I've heard that.
One time we were on vacation at the beach and I had this, like, it was a hat. But it had, like, this, like, it looked like I was wearing a turban, but it wasn't. Like, it hung around the back, so, my neck didn't get sunburned, and, like, I looked ridiculous, but it did work.
But it looked like a big safari hat, or did it look like something you would clean, like, chemicals with? You know what I mean?
It was just a baseball cap with stuff hanging down from the side.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Same color fabric.
Now, let me ask you. Matt, you couldn't go out and spend 15 minutes in the sun with the short sleeve shirt on today, could you?
I mean, I'd have to put sunscreen on or just make sure I don't stand in direct sun.
What is the SPF on your sunscreen, right? Because everyone has their different thing. But in the case of actually being albino, I assume you get whatever the best commercially available crap is. That's the stuff you get, right?
Yeah. And when I was a kid, like, the best I could find was 45 SPF. But now they have, like, 70 and 100. Okay. So I just get the highest I can see.
But ideally, you would wear maybe, a long sleeve shirt out?
Dude, I'm walking around shirtless today.
Well, that's sexy. I saw a guy the other day, and I was like, "Why are you wearing long sleeves in this weather?" And the sleeves themselves were just detachable sleeves.
All right,
like the compression stuff you had, but it was white, and it like started at your bicep and came down, and it was just sleeves. Like he was wearing a t-shirt. It was just.
They didn't steal those things from football players. Things that they put on their arms.
That's exactly what it was. Players, but you can buy them and wear them. And I was like, I've never seen anyone just rock those. That's
pretty why smart. Was he wearing them? Did he say?
Because he was golfing and for five and a half hours in this crap.
All right, yeah.
And they were white, and he's like, man, they kind of deflect the sun a little bit and keep it cooler. I was like, that's pretty smart.
Well, it's like the neck gaiters. I mean, people that fish in the South and stuff have wearing those things for years just to keep the sun off of them.
And they wear the same kind of hats that Matt's talking about.
Yeah.
With the flaps hanging on the back.
I'm thinking about going full on for that look. Like long sleeve, long pants, but I could be fly fishing at any moment.
Ted, let's just say someone breaks into your house, right?
All right.
And they don't know that you're a festival type guy. And they go into your closet. All right. They find where you keep all your stuff. Okay. What are they gonna find? And
I mean the fur coat's probably the weirdest. I have a couple caftans.
What is a caftan?
Traditional like long flowing, I think they've come from Turkey.
I know what you're talking about. Okay.
You've seen people wear them before, but they're big over in like the Middle East and like Africa and stuff.
Now, is this because
they're going to be surprised when a short white dude rolls in?
is this practical for the weather? You know, with the sun and the sand and everything like that. Is that why you choose?
Well, some of them too are just comfortable. Period. Like I just like to wear them around. Especially
they do look
hot.
Comfortable.
Okay,
there's no doubt about that.
Okay,
but I have a real like authentic one that. Yeah, I think it's good for the desert.
All right. Which, you know, is an unusual thing to have at a closet in Seattle. I'm like, who is this guy if I break in, right?
I still think the craziest thing I own, though, is that brick shirt.
I can't. It's just a t-shirt that has a brick pattern, but it's...
But every once in a while, there's a gold brick. The shirt looks like a brick wall, and there's no rhyme or reason with the gold ones. And I'll never forget, the day I bought it, I was with Jeets. And he was like, you're pretty hammered, man. I don't think you should get the brick shirt. I was like, get in the brick shirt!
And now it's legendary. Reason we asked, so what's the craziest item of clothing you own? We all know Steve-O from Jackass fame. He's got a new stunt that he's been working on for the last 2 years. He has been working on a homemade Sasquatch suit made entirely of pubic hair.
Okay.
But since he cannot produce enough body hair himself, he made a post asking for volunteers. He held somewhat of a pube shaving party last Thursday. The requirements? You had to be a dude over 18. No ladies were allowed. And everyone had to bring their own razor. So Steve-O basically filled up a large plastic bag with hair from armpits, crotches, and even the butt. Considering a Bigfoot suit requires lots of hair, maybe he will unfortunately hold another meetup soon. So that's
I need more pubes, ma'am.
He's gonna make Hey, Sasquatch suit.
Random, random.
Made
random,
from human random, pubic hair. Random,
I mean, it is not something random, I would do, but I admire that.
One of a kind.
You know, and the truth is, now that I've just heard about this, I really can't wait for it to be done. I just want to see him in it. You know, just to know.
All the different colors blended together. Not everybody has the same hair color.
Sure. Hello, Amanda. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, fellas.
Hola. Amanda, welcome to the program.
Hey. You guys staying cool, or your ball sticking to your leg, or?
Yeah, well, we're in an air-conditioned studio, but you'll still get a little bit of that. I mean, you can't stop that from happening.
That just happens in general.
Yeah, you try to
very adhesive.
You can powder, but it doesn't always help. All right, Amanda, let's go with this one. What did you or someone you know steal from your job?
From my job?
Yeah. Job you were working at, maybe you swiped something, okay. Or you knew an employee who happened to...
Okay, yeah, I have something. Worked in a restaurant, and... when I was a lot younger, and we would have breakfast every once in a while and make waffles or whatnot and serve it with whipped cream. Well, one of these days, I was introduced to the Whippet.
Whippet, good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that is? Yeah. And so one morning before the bosses got there, we had actually went through two cases of the whipped cream containers, and we're messing around, and then by the time the bosses got there and we started serving the food, no carbonation. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
They said it's just coming out like milk. So we whipped it on about two cases, 24 each of Whippet cans.
And
damn,
that's one of those things where you're kind of in a daze for the rest of the day, I'm guessing.
Yeah. No, actually, like, once you do it, it only lasts like 3 or 4 seconds and you're completely back to normal. But those 3 or 4 seconds are the funniest times in your whole life.
Okay.
But it's
the greatest 4 seconds of my life.
Steve, did you ever work anywhere where it was worth bringing some of the food home to make it home? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
a lot of places.
All right.
But that's problematic because, you know.
I mean, you can't bring a blooming onion home if you work at Outback because you don't have a deep fryer and you don't have all
sure, sure,
know,
sure.
So there's got to be certain things that, you know what I mean? Like, I'm gonna hook that up.
Yeah, well, I worked in the furniture store, you know, IKEA, and brought home a lot of stuff. But, I mean, I was there for 15 years. So by that point, I was done with the meatballs and all.
Right.
You know, honestly, man, all the restaurants I worked at, if I was going to eat food from the restaurant, typically I would just make it myself there.
Yeah.
Like, I was more apt to steal, silverware because you're broke and you needed something for home. Steal the glasses. Stole the VCR once. But, I mean, I don't think I ever actually stole food from any of the restaurants.
No. I stole a microphone once from a radio station in Hagerstown. That's about as crazy as I get.
Why'd you steal the microphone?
You know, because that woman who was owner of that place treated all of her employees like garbage.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I was cleaning out a back room and got into a drawer that nobody really knew existed. I was digging through cables and all this crap, and at the bottom of it was a AKG microphone, which goes for about $1,000.
Oh, so those are expensive.
That was a little bit too rich for my blood. I realized, like, the nicest microphone in this entire building is in a drawer that no one knows is there, and they're not using the damn thing.
You know what I did from...
So I decided I was going to use it.
From this very radio station, I did steal your mic flag. Right, so like if you're looking at a press conference and people hold the mics up, yeah, and I took the thing, it was laying loose, so I'm like, well, hell yeah, man, I'll take it home. So Hair Club's at my house years ago for something, and he sees it and he's like, did you steal that from the station? I said, where else would I steal it from?
Right, you think I ordered one of these?
I ordered one for myself. Yeah.
I stole it from the station.
They're like 25 or 50 bucks. They're not cheap. Reason we asked, what did you steal from your job or someone else? The Touchstone Pistachio Company of California, they reached out to police with an unusual plea. Someone stole our nuts, and a lot of nuts.
Uh-oh.
An audit turned up 42,000 pounds of missing pistachios, according to the Sacramento Bee. Now, detectives, they have since arrested a California trucker and explained the alleged plot in a Facebook post. They say the tractor trailer filled with pistachios was moved from one trucking lot to another nearby. From there, the nuts were then being repackaged from 2,000-pound sacks into smaller parcels for resale.
But they couldn't move a ton of pistachios?
No, they had to put them in individual bags like normal people buy them. The nuts were originally moved by the owner and a 34-year-old man affiliated with the company. Alberto Montemayor has been charged on suspicion of theft. And because of the
value of the nuts being over $100,000. He is facing some serious, serious jail time.
Yeah.
They're apparently looking for accomplices, however, because the sheriff's department is asking for the public to come forward with tips and to find all these pistachios that are now being sold in retail locations.
But how would you know, right? If you went into the grocery store, you're going to buy pistachios, because who doesn't enjoy a pistachio? But I wouldn't know. I wouldn't think, like, man, I'm not buying into this. These are counterfeit pistachios. They've been repackaged. How the hell would you know? The average person.
I don't know that you could.
Yeah, I couldn't. I have no idea.
Not unless they're the really good ones that come in the different flavors, like salt and pepper, and they got the cayenne ones.
They have cayenne pistachios?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Pistachio's doing a lot of work right now.
They do.
I mean, I know they got a big ad campaign going on. Let's get cracking. All that. I did not realize they were offering all these different flavors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Chipotle. You damn
right. Okay. Random, yeah. Random.
Check out some Chipotle pistachio. Speaking of which, there's no truth that Chipotle restaurant carries haggis. I'm just throwing it out there.
What? Have we asked?
We haven't asked. Now, what was it? You said you wanted to try haggis, which I do not understand, but you said you did. You Googled, correct, what? Haggis in Seattle or something like,
correct,
that?
Correct.
And Chipotle came.
I don't know why Chipotle. Like, seems like a stretch for a Mexican grill.
But hey, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's on their special menu. I don't know. Hello, Wes. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Wes, welcome to the program. Random question, question. All right, let's go with this one, Wes. What did you eat or drink by accident? What have you eaten or had a drink of by accident?
Oh, man. Okay, so I was in South Korea, and a friend of mine was like, hey, we'll go to this, you know, this fish market, and we'll get some food, and we'll just have lunch, and then we'll go out and party. And so they bring out these. So when you go to a fish market, you buy your fish, and then they direct you to a restaurant. Well, so he's like, hey, just go to the restaurant, get us some beers. I was like, okay. He bought the fish from the fish vendor, and they bring it out because it's also sashimi style.
Okay.
And they had these little wraps, and it wasn't seaweed. It was some other type of leaf with rice. And I'm like, hey, dude, why is that moving? And I ate it, and it was straight up raw, still moving octopus.
God, man. So, I mean, now look, I don't want to go without sympathy, but much like Miles with his blue and red speckled mushroom, you see that the thing's moving. You didn't necessarily get an answer to your question, and you're still like, the hell with it?
Well, so it's like one of those man things, I guess. You know, that stupid ego. My buddy Rich was with me, and our buddy, who's half Filipino and half Korean, and so he was kind of like our tour guide. He's like, just eat it. Be a man. And so I looked at Rich, and I was like, yeah, Rich, well, let's eat this. And Rich and I downed it at the same time, and I started gagging, and I just forced it down. Rich jumped up from the table and bolted to the bathroom and just puked it all up.
Now, did you bite into it at all or just swallow it?
I chewed as fast as I could, and then I just swallowed. I was like, just get it over with, man.
And what did it taste like for the most part? Raw octopus.
So it still tastes, I mean, like a normal piece of sushi, but something's wriggling in your throat as it goes down your throat.
No, thank you.
Yeah,
no, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, never again.
So you're not chewing it.
But the good news is at least you know it's fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Our food is so fresh it is still moving on your plate. Top that.
It's so organic.
I would be worried about those worms you were talking about. Just to take a fish and then eat it sashimi style?
Right. I mean, I don't think that
I realize it's sliced a little thinner, but
get those worms.
Yeah, but that was different than the fish that was bought at the market. So that was just a part of the roll and the wrap. You know what I mean? Like, the fish would be the thing where I'd be afraid those pinworms would be in there.
So let me get this straight.
Do you eat raw fish?
I do. I just, you know, go
you
to Japanese.
You feel better in the States. You know, for whatever, we kind of know what our health departments look for. It doesn't mean you're 100% safe, but you feel better. Because we hear a lot of stories, like yours, Wes, where someone, and it's always Asia, right, went to the market, you weren't quite sure what you're eating, and a lot of times have an ill effect.
I told you, I had a raw clam with my buddy. That was awful.
Do people eat raw clams?
I've never even seen that on the menu before.
This place was.
I mean, other than the story that you tell me, I've never heard of anywhere serving, certainly nobody eating raw clams, man. That's just, how bad was it?
It's one of the worst things I ever put in my mouth.
Do you put cocktail sauce on it, or do you dip it in butter, or is there?
No, it was the same. It was the same setup as like a raw oyster, so it had a.
So it was just
mignonette or whatever.
It was pretty open. It had to be because you couldn't get it.
Yeah. But my buddy goes. You guys know Dan,
yeah.
DB. Like he goes there.
He likes raw.
He was eating them, but he's a.
Is he the guy that only eats sushi rolls?
You know what? It is.
No, wait.
So how can
he'll
be such
eat
an
a raw goddamn you know clam, I mean? But he gave you grief about eating any sushi that wasn't smoked salmon or nigiri.
Right, he kept calling it Nijiji.
What are you, I know it made you mad. What do you call it?
Be careful.
Nigiri? Is that what he was calling? I don't know. Finally, by like the third time, I was just like, Dan, that's not how it's pronounced.
The thing is, the people, if you could just hear his voice. Him saying it somehow makes it more entertaining to me.
Right. I mean, the look of shock in his eyes when I went, and just order me some nigiri. Albacore tuna. What? Like, it's not that exotic,
you're the
man.
Guy who eats raw clams.
You eat raw clams.
I know.
And you're not a seagull.
Jesus. Reason we asked, what did you eat or drink by accident? We go to Kashmir, and a man who was hospitalized after a shopkeeper mistakenly sold him a bottle of battery acid instead of water.
I mean, come on, man.
Sources told the India Today that the man was coming back after destroying a poppy cultivation. Oh, there's the fun police at work. And it asked for a bottle of water to a nearby general store at about 11 a.m. in the morning. Well, the shopkeeper mistakenly sold him the bottle containing a liquid similar to water, which was battery acid packed in a waste mineral water bottle. The man drank it, he felt uneasy, and then he had to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
He was thirsty, asked for the shopkeeper for water, but instead he got battery acid. He is doing okay. His condition has been changed from stable. He has since been discharged from the hospital. But either way, that's pretty heavy duty.
You think that guy was into the poppy thing? Like, yeah, I've heard about you.
And then we go to Canada, where a southern Alberta couple who realized their infant had eaten raccoon feces found themselves racing against time to find a rare medication in doctors and pharmacists across to Western Canada. They had to mobilize to help find it.
This story only gets worse.
Mm-hmm. Ashley Hodden learned raccoon scat can be extremely dangerous when she found it in her yard in Alberta and researched how to dispose of it safely. Raccoons can carry a deadly form of roundworm, and the eggs live in the feces. So this extremely rare parasitic
caviar
can occur in humans if they ingest the eggs, which hatch into the larvae, travel through the body, and invade the organs, including the eyes and the brain. And so, when her one-year-old son ate raccoon feces from a flower pot in the garden just over 4 weeks ago, she knew she was alarmed, to say the least. Symptoms of the infection include brain damage, blindness, and coma, and can also be deadly. They go through the stomach barrier, they infest your body, and essentially eat you from the inside out, according to the boy's father. And if you don't treat them quickly enough, there isn't really a way to reverse the effects because they've literally eaten your tissue. Well, they immediately called the family doctor and the province's Poison and Drug Information Service. Both advised the parents to wait and see if their son, whom they didn't want to name in order to protect his privacy, developed any symptoms of infection. Instead, the parents sought to have the feces tested for roundworm, and their veterinarian confirmed the worst. The sample was infested with so many eggs and larvae that they were unable to count them all.
Mm.
So after rushing their son to the hospital emergency room, they were prescribed a drug which needs to be taken within 3 days of exposure. Special authorization, believe it or not, you have to have that to write the prescription, was given by Health Canada.
Yeah, I don't think this drug was available in Canada.
No, but guess what? He didn't have to pay for it. This signaled the delays to come. We started calling around to try and track it down. They soon realized it wasn't available commonly at all. When a drug is not widely available, a compounding pharmacy can prepare personalized medications for patients by mixing the individual ingredients together in the exact strength and doses. So basically, that's when your pharmacist becomes more than a pill counter and they actually become a pharmacist. Well, 56 hours after ingesting raccoon feces, the parent's son received his first dose of the drug, and from the hospital doctors to the veterinarian, to a chain of pharmacists, the collaboration between so many people actually worked. And they said that was incredible that they could get all that done.
That is so... I had no idea. I mean, look, you know your kids should not eat poop. You would not think that that's the inherent danger.
No. More of the random question on the way. 206-421-ROCK.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.